Hi, this is Meg Malone, the Vermont Edition digital producer, and you're listening to the Vermont Edition podcast. This episode has been edited for clarity and brevity. Happy listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Vermont is one of two states in the country that still has a two-year term for governor. New Hampshire is the other one. Now, over the last 150 years, there have been 19 proposed constitutional amendments to go to a four-year term in Vermont. They've all failed. This year, backers are trying again. Most of Vermont's governors have different opinions on this issue. For instance, current Governor Phil Scott, who's just been elected to his second two-year term, is a strong supporter of a four-year term.
It's interesting when you talk to former governors. Everyone has a different opinion on that. From my standpoint, it's particularly the first 4 years, I think is difficult to find, someone to sign up for what could possibly be just 2 years, to put on your team, so to speak, and getting your legs underneath you and trying to establish that. I think it's difficult. I've always been an advocate for a 4 year term.
I should mention that Governor Scott says he supports a four-year term, even though it's highly unlikely that it would affect him because the process to adopt a constitutional amendment does take so long. Today on Vermont Edition, we have two former governors who view this issue very differently, and we are very pleased that they're joining us today. With us, former Governor Madeline Cunin, who was elected to three terms in the 1980s, and also former Governor Howard Dean, who served 5.5 terms between 1991 and 2003. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you here. We really appreciate you being part of this discussion.
We're happy to be here.
Thank you. Just a historical note to start the program today. Until 1870, Vermont had a one-year term for governor, and then a constitutional amendment was adopted that year that extended the term to 2 years, and it's been that way for almost 150 years. So the question we have today, is it time for Vermont to join the other 48 states that have a four-year term? Governor Cunin, you think the answer is yes. Tell us why.
Absolutely, I do. I think the time has come when we can't be an outlier anymore. And I think one of the reasons, one of the practical consequences of a two-year term is that it costs a lot of money to run. And I just looked up the figures the other day. When I ran, it cost $639,000 and something, and Howard $946,000. And the last election, Sue Minter spent more than $2 million and Phil Scott $1.6 million. So if you multiply that by two, you're in the stratosphere of campaign finance spending for a state our size. That's a heck of a lot of money. So the most important reason, though, is you can concentrate on being governor in 4 years. I mean, most policies are more complex than they were when governors had a one-year term and everybody changed to two and everybody changed from two to four. State aid to education, taxation. I mean, these are often controversial issues that take time to figure out and agree on. So I think the issues of our time are important. And, you know, one side effect is that lobbyists gain more power when the governor is too busy trying to run for re-election. And I think that balance between lobbyists and elected officials is very important to maintain. So I probably testified 8 times on this issue, so I've honed my arguments. But like Phil Scott, I'm a little pessimistic whether it will happen because the legislature is very interested in keeping its own power. And they say if the governor has 4 years, we should have 4 years. Though, of course, that's not the case in Congress. So I think it's worth arguing and fighting for because I think basically it will lead to better government.
Governor Dean, you support a two-year term. Tell us why.
Oh, I actually think this is the most dangerous thing we could do was to go to a four-year term because it's going to lead to unresponsiveness by the government. I adore Madeline because she started a lot of the programs that I expanded. So but I can't disagree more strongly. First of all, I think that on the money side, of course, it takes a lot. So if you have 4 years, the governors will just stockpile more and more money. They won't have less funding, and that'll intimidate people from getting into the race. Why in the age of Trump would you want less responsive government? We've talked about the money, policies. Well, when I was governor, we created, based on a small program that Madeline started that was very important, universal health care for everybody under the age of 18. We did that in 2 years. We did the biggest land deal east of the Mississippi in the Champion Paper deal, hundreds of thousands of acres conserved. That took less than 2 years. It goes on and on and on, success by six, which dramatically reduced child abuse rates. You can do this stuff in 2 years if you focus. And if you have 4 years, guess what? Politicians are like everybody else. They're just going to take 4 years to do the stuff they could do in 2 years. I love the idea of having to go to Brattleboro and Bennington and St. Johnsbury all the time as governor because it makes me understand what's going on in Vermont. Let me give you just a quick example. In New Hampshire has a 2-year term. In 2002, a guy named Benton was elected. He's a wealthy guy. Jean Shaheen had left as she'd run for the Senate successfully. This guy was elected. It turned out he had all kinds of irregularities in his finances. He was removed from office 2 years later without impeachment because it was a 2-year term. The Senate in New Hampshire and the House have been taken over by right-wingers from time to time twice. They passed bills like putting guns on the floor of the House in New Hampshire, defunding Planned Parenthood. If you couldn't – the House will get a 4-year term even if it's staggered. How'd you like to have to take 4 years to undo that instead of 2 years? So I just think this is a disaster, and it's caused by two things. One is politicians would like less accountability. And I don't mean that in a mean-spirited way. We're all human beings. If we don't have to run for election and face the voters, we get away with a little more, oh, they'll forget it. Our consultants will tell us, don't just do it, et cetera, et cetera. Number two is voters like the idea of not having those ads all the time and all that stuff. Well, the truth is, voters have an obligation to fully participate in a democracy. And if you want the kind of democracy that we have in Vermont, then you have to put up with elections. That's just the way it is. And the last thing, last point that I want to make about this is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We are one of two states with 2-year terms. I used to say when people used to come up at the Tunbridge Fair after having been in the beer tent and all this stuff, why don't you pass a law that does this or that? Some ridiculous thing. And I would say, I'll tell you what, I'll help you pass a law that does this or that. If you pass a law that says everybody who lives in Vermont has to spend 3 or 4 weeks a year in Massachusetts or Connecticut, New York and New Jersey, see how you like that before you start criticizing what we're doing in Vermont.
Governor Kunin, Governor Dean says,
disaster.
Disaster, dangerous, less responsive government, and government that's less accountable.
I disagree completely. I have faith in the Vermont voters, and I have faith in the voters in this country, despite some of the shenanigans that have been going on, which have nothing related to the 4-year term. Vermont did vote for a 4-year term, and it's in the Constitution, and this was for assistant judges, sheriffs, state's attorneys, and judges of probate. And disaster hasn't occurred. I think most people aren't even aware that there's a 4-year term for these offices. So I believe the size of Vermont is what makes us a real close-up, you can touch it, democracy. That, you know, you may go to a horse race or you may go to something else, but you meet people. And whenever I've gone shopping, it took me twice as long as if I were the governor, because you get so many questions and answers and petitions, and that's healthy. So I think a 4-year term would not destroy that. I think it would strengthen the governor, and we are in touch. You know, you can't walk down the street without somebody saying, well, you should do this or you should do that. And you take that seriously. You can't get away with lying or subterfuge in Vermont because everybody knows everybody else's business, including the political business.
So, Governor Dean,
it sounds like you don't buy the argument that a two-year term causes a governor to be more cautious.
I certainly don't buy that argument. I think it accelerates the need for change, and it also gives voters a referendum. And interestingly, Madeline brought up the four-year term for probate judges and state's attorneys, which I think is fine. The reason – there were actually two amendments on the 19 – I think it was 74 ballot. That the one for the governor didn't pass because it was Watergate, and people knew and saw what happened at the national level. You have those few times – look, Vermont's a great place, but there always are room for mischief, and we've seen this in New Hampshire. And there are a few times where you really would like to get rid of people as soon as possible, and that is why we don't have a 4-year term, because it came up at the same time as Watergate. This time it's going to come up at the same time as Donald Trump. And boy, wouldn't we be lucky if we had a 2-year term for Donald Trump.
Well, we sure would be, but unfortunately we don't. And it wouldn't come up at the time of Donald Trump because it takes, what, 5 or 6 years? Right. And hopefully it won't take that long to change the administration at the national level. But I think Vermont voters, you know, are smart. And I also think that campaign finance funding has become an industry. It's become an industry for television. It's become an industry for hundreds of different people and careers. So it's an industry that we should try to control. We should try to at least limit. Perhaps control isn't the right word. But having an election every 2 years for the governor, you know, it's a nice sentimental idea, but it's out of touch with reality, to tell you the truth, because how government functions these days, it isn't like when governors came to Montpelier for a few months in the early days and then went home and lived their lives. Being a governor is a 24/7 job, as you know, Howard, and if you can pay attention to it and not raise money. I mean, raising money for these campaigns, whether you like it or not, does give you some responsibility to the people who give you money, if only you listen to them, only if you open their emails. So I think if we can diminish the power of money in politics, I think we will have a stronger democratic system.
Although I would have to argue strongly that it won't diminish the amount of the fundraising. You'll start fundraising just as senators do the day they take the oath of office, and they have a 6-year term. All this will do is let them pile up a much bigger war chest to fend off opponents. And I think we need opponents, we need open elections, and we most of all, need accountability to the public. And that's what the 2-year term does better than anything else.
Let's start off with Christine Hultquist, who was the Democratic candidate for governor. Christine, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. And you've got two of my favorite people on the program. So it's a great honor to be with talking to Madeline and Howard Dean.
And what are your thoughts?
So my thoughts, you know, after going through a pretty exciting, for me, campaign, of course, you know, when you look at the campaign, it started out that this was going to be a sleepy campaign. Well, it turns out about 2.5 times the number of people showed up in the primary. And what I saw was a really dissatisfaction with the way that Phil Scott was leading, you know, from a real autocratic, you know, patriarchal way. And I think it's important to hold our leaders' feet to the fire, you know, and you saw a total change this time when the governor addressed the legislature. You know, I'm certainly not taking credit for that tonal change, but certainly there was a large number of Vermonters who were not happy with the type of leadership that was coming out of the governor's office. You know, leaders of organizations get their reviews every year. And I just think it's very healthy to have this dialogue and this activity every 2 years. It really is a case of where it helps us to improve our democracy, you know. Having leaders getting further disconnected is not healthy for our democracy.
Okay.
I will also add too that the fundraising issue is a separate issue. You know, we do have to get the money out of politics, but changing the term doesn't change that.
Okay, Christine, we appreciate your phone call. Let's turn to Bob, who's calling from Rutland City. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind today?
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to say, I guess I'd have to say I agree with former Governor Dean that be careful what you wish for, you know, on the accountability part of it. And also, it puts too many things into concrete for 4 years. I'd rather see change every 2 years. So thank you.
All right, Bob, thanks very much for your phone call. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. With us today, two former governors discussing the length of term in Vermont, former Governor Madeline Cunin and former Governor Howard Dean. They have very different points of view about whether or not Vermont should have a four-year term for governor. We got a bunch of emails in from folks. The first one we got, two-year terms lead to almost perpetual campaigning and cost the state more money. It's not as though we're locked into a governor forever if we allow them 4 years. We should definitely do it. Matthew wrote us, with half as many elections, it's easy to imagine folks getting twice as animated. Maybe even results in more money and more extreme politics, since each gubernatorial election becomes more significant. And Governor Dean, Matthew said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And another one we got. At this point, after nearly 150 years of two-year terms, I get the feeling that the major reason for keeping them is just so there's something else Vermont can claim that makes it different, unique, or special. Being different for different sake is a dumb idea. Please convince me otherwise. Governor Cunin, the reality is that governors get reelected to a second term and a third term. So if we went back to 1870— we would find there was one time that an incumbent governor was defeated trying to get elected to a second term in office. That was in 1962 when Republican Governor F. Ray Keezer was defeated by Democrat Phil Hoff. Since that's the case, don't we really have four-year terms for the most part?
Well, I was going to bring that point up myself, and I'm glad you did. I think what it also shows, though, is that the people do want a governor to serve 4 years, since they're very 99% likely to be reelected. So I think the public knows that it takes a governor more than 2 years to get something done and to show his or her skill and qualification. So, matter of fact, we have a four-year term, only we're paying for it, and we're paying for it very heavily in both time of the governor. It's nice to go. I like going to all the places that you mentioned, Howard. It's great, and you go there for speeches and for events and not necessarily for fundraising. And I felt I was close to the people. They sure let me know what they believed and what they disagreed or agreed with me on. So I think that we have a virtual four-year term makes sense to have an actual four-year term and let the governor be governor and not a constant fundraiser.
Let me give you an example, though, of why I disagree. So I think Madeline's right. It's a virtual four-year term. A referendum is important. This year, and I don't take a position on this act, it's very complicated. Act 46, which was passed by the legislature, turned out probably to have a majority support. We don't know, but it became a very hot issue, and it's going to go to court and this and that. But legislators are now working on a bill to fix the problems of Act 46 after 2 years. Why? Because they all heard about it in a big way, and governors, gubernatorial candidates, including Governor Scott, had to say things in response to people who were upset about Act 46. So I would argue that the reason they get reelected almost all the time after two terms is because they're responsive and they actually do something about it. And if you have a four-year term, you don't have to do anything about it. And oftentimes they don't. But there's only it only takes one time to get a Governor Benton, as they had in New Hampshire. And then you can't get rid of them unless you go through impeachment and all that. Let the voters get rid of them after two-year terms. I have no problem running in a two-year term. I enjoy it, and I enjoy going out and meeting the people. And if they're mad at me, they're going to let me know about it. Now I'm going to learn something from that. And the second 2 years of that initial 4 years is going to be different than the first 2 years.
I just wonder if one bad apple in New Hampshire should dictate what happens in Vermont.
Let's see, go back to our callers. Folks like to weigh in on this topic. Let's start with Chris, who is calling from Warren. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. Two comments. One is, every 2 years, if we're running for governor, that means the governor is spending a year campaigning, not governing. And the second is how it affects the legislature. I think a lot of legislators will sort of drag their feet, knowing that they may have a new governor that will see things more their way rather than passing laws for the current governor. That's my comment.
Okay, Chris, thanks a lot for your phone call. Let's hear from Tom, who's calling from Brookfield. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the program.
Good show. Great guests. I struggle with this because that last caller from Warren had a really good point. You know, and one of the things that concerns me is if the new governor comes in, they've got to figure out how to work the phone, where the bathroom is, how to appoint all these different political appointees in all these different positions, and that I think takes time, and they've got to figure out the groundwork and the relationships and how all this works. The other thing that concerns me, though, greatly is the amount of money in politics, like somebody else brought up. The amount of the fundraising, the campaign finance, and the entrenched groups of people who are at the top levels of government who gets recycled through different administrations and kind of just bring the same old stuff back to the government, whether it's Republican or Democrat. Those are all concerns that I don't think there's an easy answer on it. But I think we saw Phil Scott change his tune based on a kind of a good poll, right? Because we had he had competition, there was the discussion, and he's changed his tune a bit here. But every 2 years, it just seems like we're rehashing a lot of the same old ground, and we're spending a lot of money and a lot of time when we should be moving ahead and making some fundamental changes here in our state, because we've got some really big fundamental problems. I have a lot of respect for both of the ex-governors here.
Tom, thanks very much for your phone call. Today on the program, looking at the 2-year term, should we keep it? Should Vermont go to a 4-year term? Your thoughts, 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Governor Kunin, let's say Vermont went to a 4-year term. Should we also have term limits?
Well, that's a good question. I used to believe in term limits because I thought that it would open the door for more women to get elected and more atypical candidates. But I've changed my mind because I think the experience is valuable. It got rid of some very good people before they were ready to go. But I do think that legislators and congresspeople should bow out after a certain amount of time, or should consider, we should have more turnover. We had that nationally in this past election when so many Republican seats flipped to Democrats, but it was unusual. In Vermont, I don't think we need term limits because the people who get reelected usually deserve to be reelected. And was it about a third of the legislature turns over every 2 years? So that's good. That's about where it should be.
Governor Dean, would you feel any differently about a 4-year term if Vermont, like many other states, had a recall provision?
You know, those are incredibly ugly and expensive. And this is a recall position, a provision. Let me just say, in effect, we have term limits in Vermont by attrition because you have to go out and do the work. Let me just say one thing I really strongly disagree with one of the callers on. They talked about we don't have enough time to govern because we're campaigning all the time. The truth is that campaigning is governing well. That's the most important thing you can do. You don't have to campaign if you do a good job. So you ought to go down and work around the state and work your you-know-what off, governing well and listening to people. That is governing. That's not campaigning. This idea there's a difference between governing and campaigning is, I think, is false. And I think you get better government if you have to campaign and be around people all the time who then can stand up in a town meeting or an event and say, Governor, why did you do this? Because I think it's wrong. If you get enough of that stuff, you go back and change the way you govern. I think – I just don't think there's a difference between campaigning and governing.
Well, I do. I really do. I mean, in the world we live in with social media, with fake news, I mean, you can be destroyed. You can be the best governor in the world and you can be destroyed by – the tactics that are being used today. So I agree, if you govern well, that helps, but it's not, doesn't immunize you from what is going on in today's political world.
But you get that when you're not campaigning too. I mean, you get that sitting, look at Trump's numbers. I mean, and he's not campaigning yet, supposedly. I mean, I do think that campaigning is governing and governing is campaigning. And if you make a distinction between that, I think it's a mistake.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Drew, who's calling from Burlington. Hi, Drew. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. It's a great program. You know, I'm relatively new to Vermont. I've only been here for about 5 years, but when Governor Dean was in office, he was one of my political heroes living in one of those other states down in New Jersey, because politics here in Vermont is very different. My experience has been, you know, I got really excited for both Minturn and for Hultquist in their election bids. And I feel like it really helps keep the Democratic spirit alive in the state. It helps us to have those conversations when we're thinking about these elections every 2 years. And I really found that to be much more engaging a form of politics than other states that I've lived in, where the governor goes every 4 years and is a lot less accessible. And so I think that, you know, I think Governor Dean is correct that good governing is good campaigning, and that it really does help keep the governor's pulse on what's happening in politics, as well as all of the residents' finger on the pulse of what's happening in politics.
Okay, Drew, we appreciate your phone call. Let's turn to Dana calling from Montpelier. Hi, Dana. What's on your mind today?
Hi, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I work in state government, actually, in Vermont. And I have to say that one of the challenges you have with having the two-year term is that it's really hard to adjust policy and practice in various departments under so much turnover with regard to the governorship. And I do agree that I think it's driven by sort of an unrealistic idealism that the next governor is going to be, somehow shake things up and improve things. But really, sometimes you got to just stick to the policy that you originally decided to do and follow it through. And I think that requires a little bit more longer term for the governorship.
Okay, Dana, thanks very much for your phone call. Let's turn to Lynn in Burlington. Lynn, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is regarding the four-year term. Would that governor be eligible for multiple four-year terms or just the one? Because that would factor into my decision between the two.
Governor Kunin, I can't name the states off the top of my head, but I think Virginia is one of the states. Perhaps Governor Dean knows this better than I do.
It's the last state
that has one four-year term. That's all you get.
It's in the odd years. They have their elections in the odd. Vermont has no term limits, so you could have 2 4-year terms, or if the voters love you, 3 4-year terms. But no, that would not be a consequence, that it would be limited.
Let's talk to Andrew, who is calling from Burlington. Hi, Andrew. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Governing, yes. 2-year terms helps you stay focused and in touch. We reduced the size of the legislative participation from 247 to 150, and we haven't improved the cost of living in Vermont, but we have got a a lot of people that would like to stay easier and longer. So campaigning every 2 years helps you govern, and why not keep it? And it's less expensive.
Okay, Andrew, we appreciate your phone call very much. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today we're looking at the length of term for the governor in Vermont, and we have two former governors with us, former Governor Madeline Kunin and former Governor Howard Dean. You know, having followed this issue for several years at the legislature, inevitably it gets tied up in legislative terms. You know, like it or not, lawmakers are going to say, hey, if we're giving the governor a four-year term, we better have four-year terms as well, because they feel otherwise the governor has too much power. So, Governor Kunin, what about that argument?
Well, I think it doesn't hold. I mean, no states follow the federal pattern of the executive has a longer term than the legislative, and that seems to work. I mean, the responsibilities are different. While the legislative is an equal branch of government, in Vermont especially, it's a part-time position, and the executive does need the four-year term. But that's one reason why this amendment hasn't passed, because legislators say exactly what you said. If the governor has 4 years, I should have 4 years. And even though it doesn't hold true in actual work time, I mean, if you were really specific and calculated the 24/7 job of the governor and the part-time position of the legislator, it would make sense the way it is. So I don't think that should happen. I don't know of states where legislators, where the House has a two-year term, a four-year term. Some have a longer term for the Senate, and that makes some sense. But I don't think the House would let the Senate do that, as they hold on to their power very, very closely. And there's enough tension between the House and the Senate now, but if the Senate had a longer term like we do in Congress, that would not fly.
Governor Dean, you served several terms in the Vermont House. As a House member, how would you feel about giving the governor a four-year term when you still only had a two-year term?
Well, I'm against giving the governor a four-year term under any circumstances. In some ways, I'm a little incredulous that we're having this discussion. Around the rest of the country, people are going to the ballot box and trying to reduce the influence of legislators who want to stay there. They put term limits in California. They're desperately trying to figure out ways to stop politicians from behaving like politicians should behave. I mean, if we continue this argument, why shouldn't we have town meetings every other year to let the select board do more things and focus more on their job? I want accountability. I think if there's a problem in American political system, there is not enough accountability. It's tied up with Citizens United and all this other stuff. But the fundamental thing is let voters have their say. Then you can have what we just had in this year with 40 seats changing hands because there was really strong feeling that that should be done. Look, I have to say this, and this I probably wouldn't say this if I were the sitting governor because the voters are the boss. I think there's some voters that are not taking their role seriously enough. If you're not involved, if you want a democracy, you better be involved in it. And you better not complain and give people more power because you don't want to exercise it and deal with television ads and money and all this stuff. There is no reason that we should let politicians be less accountable, whether they're in the House, the governorship, or the Senate. None. And I like the system that we had. And I only wish – I love the young guy that called in from New Jersey. Go and spend time in New Jersey and see how you like that, or Connecticut and see how you like that. Then come back, and if you want to change the system, be my guest. I have spent an enormous amount of time in all 50 states. There is no state in the country that is better run than Vermont. And that I say that with Republicans, Democrats. This state is by far the best run state in the country, with both parties, because they have to be responsive to government on a regular basis.
Well, I agree with much of what Howard has just said. But I think the biggest problem is accountability, but accountability is influenced by money. And I think money in politics is the really – is the real villain in our system, because people can't be who they are. They are created into two-dimensional characters by the media and by the paid media. So I think if we reduce the amount of money in politics and the influence that money has, I think we'll have more accountability. People get distorted as to who they are. And everything is, you know, you're either right or you're wrong. And with social media, one little slip-up can ruin your campaign. I think that's what we've got to address, because money does at times corrupt.
You know, I wanted to get both of your thoughts before the end of the program. Looking at the future of the Democratic Party, it seems like there are a number of candidates who've already announced for president, and there'll probably be another dozen in the next couple of months. You know, it seems like there are a lot of candidates now who seem to be supporting the progressive agenda backed by Senator Bernie Sanders in 2016. Medicare for all, we hear that being discussed a lot. Free college tuition, higher minimum wage, carbon tax to deal with climate change, higher taxes on the wealthy. Governor Dean, are you concerned that the Democratic Party nationally is drifting too far to the left?
Not at all. First of all, I think the real – what's not being written about, because it's a much more complex story, is the fight is not between the left and the center in the Democratic Party. It's the younger generation versus the older generation, which you just saw in 2018 with 350 legislative seats picked up and 30,000 candidates recruited by somebody who was under 28 years old is the first step in younger people taking over the Democratic Party, which I think is long overdue. A lot of this, I can't stand the debate about right versus left because it's so artificial. It turns out that Medicare for All probably makes a lot of sense. It also turns out that a form of that was in Barack Obama's bill, which we lost by one vote in the Senate, which is a public option. It's not so much that Medicare for All is a terrible idea. It's how we get there. It's how we get there. And we haven't heard anybody's nuances. So I think it's about time. Don't you think it's about time this country had universal health insurance, just like everybody else in the industrialized democratic world? So I'm not at all concerned about too far left. The voters will choose the best candidate. I'm all very confident in that.
You mentioned this new group of Democrats coming into Congress, young people, a very diverse group of people. Should the party's presidential candidate in 2020 reflect this new demographic?
I think they'll have to. Look, our core base at our party is young people under 35, 69% of whom voted for a very centrist governor in Virginia, Democratic governor. It is people of color and it's women. That is the core base of the Democratic Party. It only makes sense to speak to those people directly. And one of the ways you speak to them directly is have people at the top look like the people at the bottom. And that's happening. In Virginia, it happened in terms of who they elected for the 15 seats we picked up there. It certainly happened in Congress. More women than ever before, more people of color than ever before, and young people all across the political spectrum. A lot of the people who aren't getting the ink are people who won in places like Kansas and Oklahoma, Democrats. We want those Democrats. We want to represent the whole country.
Governor Keenan, what do you think?
Well, I don't disagree, but what I hope is that we can all unite when a candidate does emerge, and that's what I'm a little anxious about. On the good news side, I'm thrilled that three women and possibly four are running for president. And, you know, when Hillary ran, it was a big deal, the only woman, and a lot of focus was on was kind of sexist, you know, what she wore, how her voice was, whether she laughed right. And the three women, hopefully they'll all wear black pantsuits every day so nobody can comment on what they wear. But they're all senators. They're all highly qualified. So I think the women's vote is going to be critical, as it has been in the 2018 election. So I'm optimistic that so many people want to run for president and that they sort of have some – I mean, almost everybody now is for Medicare for All. So we're making progress, but the big thing is to unite and that we don't attack one another. and that Bernie doesn't attack the other candidates either, that we're all on the same page. Because the big mission here is quite simple, defeat Trump.
Governor Dean, you were talking about having a presidential candidate who reflects the new demographics of the Democratic Party. So would that be somebody like Joe Biden doesn't quite fit the bill, or even Bernie Sanders?
I've already said, well, first of all, let's just give Bernie credit. We wouldn't be having this discussion about Medicare for All if Bernie hadn't pioneered that in 2016. I'm probably not going to pick somebody to the convention, which is very unlike my past career. But I would like to see somebody who's 50 years old. I really would. I think it's time to turn the page to a new generation in this country. I'm happy to do it. I don't think we're to be put on the shelf. I think we have a role in my generation of coaching and talking to people about just how you do. Nancy Pelosi is a perfect example. What she did by pulling the State of the Union address was extraordinary. I doubt many 40-year-olds would have figured out that process. So I think we have a great role in our generation. I think the power needs to be now transitioned into the younger generation.
And Governor Kunin, you were mentioning some of the media attention that Hillary Clinton had in 2016. Do you think the women who are running this time will face different questions?
I hope so. I hope they'll be taken as seriously on the issues as the men who are running. And I think it'll be better. Partly because of the Me Too movement. I mean, women voters right now are very sensitive to any kind of gender issues, not just sexual assault, but whether you're being treated differently as a woman. So I think the country is more sensitized to that. And we'll find out, you know, in the campaign, people said, well, I'd vote for a woman, but not Hillary. And I used to think, well, I don't know if other women will come along, and would you? Is it any woman who gets attacked this way? I mean, already Elizabeth Warren has been accused of not being likable. You don't hear that about men, that they're not likable. So I hope the voters will say, this is a candidate. I'm going to judge her like I would judge him on the issues, whether I'm confident that she would make a good president of the United States.
And I guess a lot of people are wondering, can the Democrats have 20 candidates in that race in 2020 and still get along and not destroy each other?
That's the big question.
Yeah, I think it's more likely, actually, with 20 people. I think there's also going to be a penalty against candidates who run negative campaigns on the others. You know, we learned a lot from watching the Republican debacle last time with 14, 15 people, six or seven of whom were well-qualified to be president.
I think the big question is the independent candidate who has just announced – and that's a danger. You know, people say I can do this better than Democrats or Republicans, but it's the same old, and I'm afraid it would steal votes from the Democrats.
Well, it's been a great political discussion today. I'd like to thank both Governor Madeleine Kunin and Governor Howard Dean for coming by. We really appreciate it. It's been a great conversation about politics.
Thank you.
Thank you.